Hey everyone, it's Hala from YAP, Young and Profiting Podcast. Today we're doing something a little bit differently on the show. A lot of our listeners have requested to learn more about me, so I'm posting a new interview I had on the Young, Wild, and Rich podcast with Dane Camilla. So for those of you who are interested to know more about my come-up story and get familiar with my background, stay tuned and enjoy the interview. We'll be back with our regular programming next week.
Hala, welcome to the Young, Wild, and Rich podcast. Extremely excited to have you on and dive into your story and your career.
Awesome. Happy to be here.
Great. So I think it's interesting too how we met, and I'd love to share this with the guests because we've known each other for, I'd say, less than a month now, and we got connected by a mutual friend who actually just shot me. He literally shot me a text message of a conversation that you guys had on LinkedIn, and I saw that you had a podcast, and you're the first guest I'm bringing on who's a young professional who has a podcast. So super excited about that. Super excited to talk to you about that on this, and we'll go into that. But that's how we got connected. We had a quick call, and now we're here doing an interview and a collaboration. So thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, of course. And for me, it's also the first time I've ever done anything like this or worked with anybody else who had a podcast. It's really been a while since I've last been interviewed, usually on the other side of things. But my listeners really wanted to learn more about me, so I figured this would be the perfect way to do that. So thanks for having me.
Of course. Appreciate being able to be the first person to switch it around, like you said, and interview you. So before we kind of jump into, you know, where you grew up and where you went to college, like we always start on the Young, Wild, and Rich podcast, I'd love for you to just give our guests a little bit of insight into you and some of the things you're doing and working on, and then we can kind of unpack those things going forward during our conversation today.
Yeah, perfect. I am the executive producer and host of Young and Profiting Podcast, supported by a really amazing team. I also have a corporate career. I currently work at Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Financial Services as a marketing manager. And personally, I'm a really results-oriented and determined person. I love to lead, really passionate about leadership, probably stemming from my entrepreneurial background, always the founder or CEO or president of something at any given time. And as far as hobbies, I love to work out, spend time with my boyfriend, trade stocks, and learn.
Wow, I love it. Sounds like you do a lot of different things, and that's really why I'm excited to bring you on too. I think, you know, being a young professional today, we've never had a better opportunity to really get our hands into a lot of different things outside of working a career in a corporate environment and learning the skills that you need to become a leader and, you know, have an impact in that space, but also, you know, having the ability to learn different skills and take on side projects like the podcast. And we'll definitely go into that today. And because I think that's amazing. Some of the things you've been doing from the time that we got connected. So I appreciate you sharing that overview for our guests and just to give them a little bit of insight into what's to come and what they really can learn today. So let's start, if you wouldn't mind sharing, you know, where you grew up and where you went to college and what you wanted to study when you got into college, and we can kind of go from there.
Sure. So I grew up in Watchung, New Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl. I went to college in New Jersey, in Newark, at the New Jersey Institute of Technology. I started off as a chemistry major, but then ended up graduating in communications and media.
Okay. And so you started in chemistry. Was there an interest in just like health and fitness when you first decided to go into that realm? The reason I ask is I got my degree in exercise and wellness and health promotion. I was really into fitness. What was kind of that first decision to do the chemistry route?
Yeah. Well, I was just really good at chemistry in high school, and I wanted to make makeup. That was my original plan, that I was going to launch a makeup company and make my own makeup. Soon I realized I really wasn't interested in that. My strengths were more about connecting with people and leading people, and I decided that I wanted to take more of a marketing route.
Gotcha. And I know when you talk about, you know, wanting to start your makeup company, that entrepreneurial spirit and drive and interest is stemming at such a young age. Would you say you always had that kind of entrepreneurial drive, or did you get exposed to something? Because for me, for myself, it happened when I was like 18 years old, getting exposed to like personal growth and personal development and being able to, you know, start things. When did that actually happen for you as you were kind of going into college?
Yeah. So, I mean, I always had that spirit. I've always wanted to be rich. So even from when I was a little kid, I used to like sell books when I was like 4 years old to like my neighbors, or like I always had a lemonade stand, and then I always had a part-time job, even though I really never had to, but I always wanted to work. So I've always had that like hardworking, I want to make my own money type of spirit. But when I was 19 years old in college, I would say is when I really found myself and thought that I was capable to do anything. And I actually got really interested in the law of attraction, starting with reading The Secret, which is a book that a lot of people know about. But then, you know, I got really deep into that topic and read stuff by Abraham Hicks, if anybody has heard of that before. And it just helped open my mind to understand that, you know, you have power over your own destiny. You are able to create your own life. And if you believe it, you can achieve it. So that's really when I opened my eyes to see that I could do way more than I ever thought that I could do.
Definitely. I love that. And yeah, when I was 18 and that happened to me too, it kind of woke me up and exposed me to something I'd never been exposed to. And, you know, it's kind of led us down the same direction to having podcasts and doing different projects and meeting with people and networking. So very cool. I appreciate you sharing that. So as you kind of went to college, you switched your major. How would you say that experience was from the standpoint of, you know, being in college? I know a lot of young people today who maybe are not in college yet are contemplating, should I go to school? But what would you say the biggest lessons that you learned from your experience in college were? And what advice would you give to someone who is thinking about, should I go to college? Should I get a degree? Is this going to help me in what I want to pursue, which maybe I don't even know? How would you kind of explain or describe that from your personal experience?
Yeah, well, first off, I think that college is really important, and I think that you should take it seriously. I personally, when I was in college, didn't take it too seriously, especially the first couple of years. So I would say it's important to get that foundation, because that piece of paper, even if you don't necessarily do what you learned in school and take that to your career, having that piece of paper that's going to allow you to be eligible to get a certain job is really important. So like, no matter what, if you're able to, you've got to go to college. Like that's just foundational. So my advice is, if you're in college, do your best to do good in school, but then also make sure you get other experiences. Make sure you get involved in other ways, because you're not just going to learn in the classroom. You're going to learn in those extracurricular activities. So when I was in college, I was always active in my sorority, cheerleading. I was in plays, just a multitude of things. And also internships are really important.
Definitely, definitely. And I appreciate you sharing that as well too, because I'm a huge proponent of that too. I think, especially if you don't know what you want to do, but you know you're going to have a job or you want to get into some type of field, you're just giving yourself more opportunity to put yourself in a better position than the next person who's applying for that thing. And then more importantly, on top of that, what you were saying is make the most out of your college experience. Don't just go through the motions of, I need to get this piece of paper. And, you know, yeah, you're going to go through those party phase. I think everyone does in their first year or two. And then you're trying to start evaluating, you know, what is the thing I want to major in? What's the thing I want to focus on? Mm-hmm. But what you were saying too is like, college is expensive, right? Do everything you can to get grants, to get help so you can afford it. Because that's, I think, the big issue facing so many young people who are trying to figure it out. But there's so many other opportunities, like getting involved and internships. I'd love to ask, did you have an internship while you were in those first 4 years in your undergrad degree? Or what were some of the things that you were working on? It sounds like, based on, you know, your personality, that you were always working on other things outside of college. So what were some of those things that you were doing? Was it applying for an internship, starting your own thing, getting involved with an organization?
Yeah, so right around the time when I started getting interested in the law of attraction, I applied to several internships. And I always was a great singer, so I love to sing. So my dream was to be a singer for a long time. And I also wanted to be a radio host. Those were my two biggest, like, if I could have any dream job, those would be the two things that I wanted. So I applied to a ton of radio station internships. I ended up getting one at Hot 97 in the production department. Did that during my junior year of college. I was really dedicated to it. And I ended up getting recruited to the Angie Martinez show to be a production intern in the studio. Did really well with that, and then ended up being Angie Martinez's assistant. That led to a great opportunity for me. And because, like I mentioned before, I was doing sort of poorly in my undergrad, I thought that, you know, maybe it's okay for me to take a break right now, learn as much as I can at this radio job. And I took a break from school and did the radio full time.
I love that too, because I went to community college before going to the state school in Arizona. And between finishing those 2 years and then going to the state school, I took 2 years off because I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do too. I wasn't sure about things and I was trying a lot of different projects. So that really resonates with me. And I think for those young listeners who are maybe in college right now, who are struggling, who are trying to figure it out, it's okay to not graduate in 4 years. I mean, I didn't graduate in 4 years. I really graduated in 6 because I took time off. And it sounds like it took you maybe a little bit longer as well, but
yeah, 7 years.
Right. So that's so much time to really figure out who you are. And there's nothing wrong with not rushing that process and saying, hey, how can I dabble in some things? How can I get an internship? And you know, what you did was you wanted to get into radio and you were able to get that job and you were able to get promoted and then become the assistant for that woman. And I think that's amazing. And I'd love to ask you about, you know, for that person listening who, let's say they do land that job that they apply for around that thing that they're passionate about, what would you say was the thing that you did that gave you the ability to not only show them that you could do the job, but got you the ability to continue to move forward and continue to get promoted while you took a little bit of time off from college? What were those things that kind of separated you from, let's say, that other person who might just be staying in that same position?
I think it's just hard work. I was really determined. I was really passionate about it. I took it very seriously. I never had a poor attitude. If somebody asked me to do something big or small, I did it, whether it was feeding the meter for the DJs or picking up coffee. I would do anything because I knew that I was, you know, the lowest on the totem pole. I was pretty inexperienced at that time, and I knew that I had to just prove myself. So it was just hard work, dedication, and being action-oriented.
Definitely, definitely. And I think for those people listening too, that's the biggest thing that you can control. When you get the opportunity to get into something that you enjoy around, you know, a passion or a skill, that's the one thing that you can control is your work ethic, your mindset, and your ability to do anything you can do to actually, you know, put yourself in that position. That's always good to hear from other young professionals who are going through similar things and want similar things too, like success, like promotion, and all of those. So how long did that radio show last until you went back to school and you finished your undergrad degree? What was that transition period like? How long was that specifically with that radio show that you were talking about?
Yeah, so I was working on the Angie Martinez show for about 2 years.
Okay.
And I think I ended up taking off at least a year and a half of school. I thought that I was fully dropped out of school. I was telling everybody, I don't need college. And the Angie Martinez show, I was the assistant producer, and I learned a really big life lesson. So they were looking for a new producer, and I had thought for some reason they would put me as producer, which makes no sense looking back at it because it was like I was 23 years old, first job. Like, why would they put me as a producer as the number one show in the world? But I thought that I deserved it, and I have a little problem with being impatient. So they gave the job to someone else. He's currently on the radio. Probably if you live in New York, you know who he is. So they gave the job to him. He was a little bit older than me. He was at the station for like 3 more years than I was, and he got the job even though he never worked on the show. So there was a period of time where they wanted me to teach him the ropes of what to do because I was the one who had the experience. And me having too much of an ego at the time, I said that, oh, I'm not coming into work. He should learn it on his own. I said something like that. And I actually texted that. He showed the text to Angie Martinez, and then I got fired. So I was so heartbroken because I like just was so obsessed with the job. Very cool experience. Would meet celebrities all the time. I was so close to all the DJs. I used to work on their blogs and host showcases with them. And it was just my life. I loved working at Hot 97. So I was like heartbroken. I was so crushed. So then I was thinking, okay, I need to go back to school because I have no college degree. Like, what am I going to do now? And then I also was thinking, like, I need to show everybody that I'm not going away. I'm not going to be blackballed from the radio and broadcasting industry. I loved hip hop at the time. And I want to show them that I can make it with or without them. So those were my two drivers of doing something different. It was almost like I had to. And I'm pretty good at getting back up on the horse when I get knocked down. So I went back to school. That's why I went back to school.
Definitely. And I appreciate you sharing that too, because again, like you said, when we're younger, because again, this was a little while back for you, we tend to want to rush things, especially as young professionals and the ability to learn anything on demand. We want the success now. We want the job now. We want the quote unquote business now. And that sometimes puts us in a position to short step ourselves. And, but again, I think that's such a good learning experience that you were able to go through and then continue to drive you to say, hey, I want to prove them that I can still be relevant in this industry and I can create something. So after that ended and you went back to school, you started something else at the same time that you were finishing college, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I started an entertainment and hip hop news website.
Okay, and what was that called?
That was the Sorority of Hip Hop, and our website was strawberryblunt.com.
And was that around interviewing people? What was kind of the concept and how did that unfold and how long did you do that for?
Sure. So it was an all-female team. I had 50 bloggers under me.
Okay.
We ran a blog site. So that was like our main thing, is that we had entertainment news website, but then we also would have online radio shows where we interviewed celebrities. We also hosted parties and concerts. So it was sort of like a media company, and we were really popular in the New Jersey and New York area.
That's extremely cool. So did you learn everything from like building a website to obviously recruiting writers and putting together shows? Like, how did you actually reach out to some of these? Because I know you shared with me, you guys got to interview some of the, you know, biggest people in hip hop. How'd you guys do that? How did you go about like creating this community so quickly?
Basically, I had this idea that I wanted to have an all-female platform. So when I first started, I just started doing recruiting on social media. From Hot 97, I had a pretty big social media following. Back then, Twitter was really cool. So put out solicits on Twitter, put out solicits on Craigslist, and had girls actually send me their pictures, their bios, their videos, handpicked 12 girls to start it off with me. And I personally was the one who ran the website. So I learned how to design websites. It really gave me skills in social media, leadership, public relationships, writing. It gave me my marketing foundation. Like, I will always be thankful for that experience because it really forced me to learn things that another person who's in college or shortly out of college would not really have the need to necessarily learn all those things. So the way that we ended up getting so popular and getting in touch with celebrities was, A, I already had the connections. I literally knew so many celebrities from Hot 97. So I had a lot of connections, and the DJs there, everybody still loved me at Hot 97. It's not like I had this, like, everybody hated me and I almost got on Love and Hip Hop. And that's also from Angie Martinez. So didn't totally burn my bridges. I just stopped working there, you know? So anyway, the way that we got really popular is because we were the first ones to use Twitter hashtagging in a mass way. Like I said, at any given time, we had 50 girls blogging for the Sorority of Hip Hop. So every time we had a blog, we would have 50 girls hashtagging Strawberry Blunt, the article, and then adding the celebrity who's mentioned in the article. So back then, we were literally the first ones to think about doing this, right? So a celebrity would see 50 pretty girls tweeting their stuff. What are they going to do? Retweet it, right? So that's how we got really popular really fast. We were like the 30,000th most popular website in the world. And there's millions and millions of websites like from like the first month that we started. So it was really crazy. And right away we got noticed by MTV.
And so, because like, there's so many things about that I think is amazing. One of the things, and just like the takeaways for the listeners too, it's like, if you want experience and let's say it's difficult for you to get experience because let's say you're young or you haven't really done much, you can go create your own experience by starting a website, getting some friends together and building a team around an idea just like you had. You know, you put that thing together and granted, yeah, you had some experience before, but there's really nothing today that can stop you as a young professional for going out and creating anything you want. To get just experience or get the skills that you need from starting a YouTube channel or a blog like you guys did to a radio show or a podcast like we're doing right now, I think it's never been easier to do that. And you were able to go from one thing and quickly start this new thing, get people together around it, and then continue to make it really successful by innovating. Like you said, the Twitter hashtags, no one been doing that. And when someone, you know, gets 50 people to, you know, shout them out on Twitter, that's going to create that kind of virality around the content you guys are putting out. And then having 30,000 most popular website is insane. I can't imagine, you know, what you and the team was thinking about at that time. I mean, did you think this was going to be something that you guys were going to run for, you know, 5 to 10 years going forward? Or was it more of just, this is fun, let's keep going with it? Because I know MTV came next and I'll let you kind of talk about that. But what was like going through your mind? I'm so curious.
So what was going through my mind? I don't know. We were the sorority of hip hop, right? So I knew that I couldn't do this forever because how long would I be young enough to be in the sorority of hip hop? So that was one thing. Looking back on it, A, I wish we didn't have such a X-rated name. We were the strawberryblunt.com. So looking back on it, I wasn't experienced enough to know like how important branding was. Although I think it gave us an edge, which probably helped. I also feel like, I wish I never called it the sorority of hip hop, because maybe that kind of put a time capsule on us. And, you know, at a certain point, we did it for 3 years. And then me and the four or five top girls, we were like, damn, we're getting kind of old to be in a sorority. Like, what do we do? You know? So I think there's a lot of lessons learned in branding. With my Young and Profiting podcast, I'm really trying to keep like a wholesome, and I feel like I have grown as a person, and I am a very like wholesome kind of business oriented person now.
No, definitely. Definitely. And again, it comes back to what we were kind of chatting about before with some of your previous experiences. Is as we get older and, you know, develop as young professionals, we learn from every experience that we have. And just kind of looking at, you know, what you've done from the first thing you were involved in to the next thing to now having the Young and Profiting podcast is your ability to evolve and become, you know, more branded to what you want to do and have it at that professional level. The reason that's happened is because you've been able to have those previous experiences from the things that you were doing before. So I think that's such a good takeaway too for our listeners, which is, hey, the first thing that you do might not be the main thing, and that's okay. It might need to be three or four or five different things that you try, projects, jobs, if you're trying to find the career that you enjoy, but it might not be the one that's going to be, oh, I love this. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. That just doesn't happen as much as it used to back when we had very clear paths without having the internet and social media. So for that person listening, it's okay to say, hey, I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to learn from it. And then I can evolve and do the next thing and the next thing and, you know, get involved in a lot of different projects. And that's, you know, just looking at what you've done, that's what's happened, but you've taken something from every single experience and you've continued to build skills around all of those different things that have helped you kind of evolve to where you're at now. We'll cover one more thing and then move on from there. I'd love for you to share with our listeners about what transpired with the MTV approaching you guys and having an opportunity there. How did that happen?
Yeah, so first, right when we started getting really popular, that story that I shared before about getting really popular really fast, MTV approached us for a reality TV show pilot. It was pretty small scale the first time, and it was right in the beginning. So they did the pilot. They usually shoot like 5-10 pilots a season, and then they pick one or two. We didn't get it the first time, but it didn't discourage us. In fact, we were like, well, whatever. We just started, and we got signed by MTV. Like, what's going to happen in 6 months, right? So we just kept working and working and hosting parties and working on our radio show and kept going. I also, at one point, I was approached by Mona Scott. She is the producer of Love and Hip Hop. Angie Martinez recommended me to be on Love and Hip Hop. And Mona Scott was literally begging me to be on Love and Hip Hop. And I, at the same time, MTV approached me and wanted us to have that initial first pilot. So that first pilot, I was debating between being on Love and Hip Hop and having this MTV pilot. And if I was to do Love and Hip Hop, I would have had to stop college. So the reason why I didn't do Love and Hip Hop is because I wanted to continue on with school. So I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, what I would end up being now if I went on Love and Hip Hop, but who knows? I didn't take it. Then fast forward like 1.5 years, 2 years, MTV approached us again for a reality TV show. And this time it was, you know, more of a promise. Like, you guys are like 90% gonna get a TV show. We all got paid. They probably spent $100,000 on the pilot. They got us a studio. They filmed us for like almost 2 months. So we did all this and we were so excited, like, finally, all this work that we did, like, we are really going to make it this time. We're going to be the next Jersey Shore. Like, this is amazing. And the girls, we were being extra dramatic and trying to be, you know, cinematic for the show to make sure we got it. And then, long story short, they didn't give us the show. And that really broke up our sorority of hip hop. The top girls, we all just felt really let down. And we felt like we were getting too old for this. We needed to figure out our lives. We needed to figure out our careers. And we stopped the blog site.
Wow. And it's so interesting too, because regardless of, yeah, it didn't work out the way in which you guys, you know, foresaw it, just having those opportunities and like being able to go through that experience, like you learn so much from that. And like for that pilot, what was it going to be if it became a reality TV show? What was it around? Was it around like your concept of this hip-hop?
Oh, yeah. So like I was the main one. I was getting paid like three times as much as everybody else. So it was really about me. And then the main girls who were the founding members of the Sorority of Hip Hop. So it was about us running this blog, throwing concerts, having a radio show. It was just about us and the dynamic between the girls and me leading a group and, you know, even me and my family and me and my boyfriend. My boyfriend is a famous hip hop producer. So it was also about that. So just really about my life and the Sorority of Hip Hop in general.
That's so cool. I mean, I can't imagine that. And just like being able to, you know, not only be on the side of doing the radio show, you know, putting on different concerts and different parties and then having that all recorded at the same time too. I think that's amazing because you're able to just have a ton of experiences that you and the other girls were able to go through, and regardless if it didn't work out. And I love hearing that too, because a lot of young people will think, oh, this person's just like in their ideal career, they're in their ideal job, they're in their ideal business that they've created for themselves, but they never really hear. And that's why I love this show and being able to talk to you, is they never get to hear about all the different like things that you were doing before that didn't work out.
Yeah, exactly. Like how many times I failed.
Exactly. Exactly. So what made you want to get your MBA? I know the MBA, especially today, is something that a lot more people are talking about, young professionals, especially because a lot of people think, you know, an undergrad is now just like, that's the standard. Like you need to have that. So what drove you to want to get your MBA versus saying, hey, I have an undergrad degree, I have a ton of experience, because you did have a ton of experience, and just go find that next career move, whether that was joining a big organization like you eventually did. What was your thought process behind going to get the MBA?
Well, okay. So after I stopped Strawberry Blunt, I got a job in marketing in the city at a water company. And it was a horrible job. I was making 27 grand a year. It was like so little pay. You know, I had to wake up at 6 a.m., get to the city, took an hour and a half, got home at 9:30 p.m. Like it was miserable. And the leader there, the CEO there, it was a pretty small company, but she was like horrible. So I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like I want to be successful. I'm too smart for this. I want to lead something. I need to do something different. So I decided I would get my MBA and then get an internship to support myself while I was doing that. I just decided that I needed to do something different to help make sure that I was able to live the lifestyle that I always wanted.
Definitely. And yeah, I appreciate you sharing that too, because the things I'm hearing from that side, from you sharing that too, is again, you know, everyone has different ambition levels of how much success they want to create. And if you know, based on what I'm hearing from you, is you obviously want to create a lot of success for yourself. Why not? We have the opportunity as young professionals to create as much success as we want. And, you know, getting your MBA again is another step up to put you in a position to get a bigger income, get a bigger salary. And it depends on what you want. So where did you get your MBA at?
I got it at New Jersey Institute of Technology. So like I mentioned before, I did really poorly in my undergrad. I had connections at the school. So that was the only school that I applied to, because I knew that I really didn't have a chance anywhere else. So I got my GRE, studied my butt off for that, got good grades, and then approached the executive director at NJIT for their graduate studies programs and got into the executive MBA program.
Very cool. Very cool. And then after you'd got into the MBA program, was the internship idea on your mind too? You're like, I want to get an internship in parallel. Like, when did you get that internship in relation to when you started your MBA?
Right away. So I did the internship at Hewlett-Packard for 2 full years.
Okay.
And it turns out the internship, I ended up getting paid like double as much as I was in my full-time job previously. So it just worked out perfect. Had like a really good paying internship and then got to go to school at the same time. So it was a great way to pivot. So my advice to the listeners out there, that if you feel like you're stuck, if there's a way for you to go get your MBA and get an internship in the industry or field that you're interested, it is the best way to pivot into something new. It is one of the only times that you can get into the field without necessarily having the experience. I did have a ton of marketing experience, but I did not have corporate experience. So they took a chance on me, and I'm forever grateful that they took a chance on me.
I appreciate you sharing that too, because I mean, you explained what you were doing before at the water company. You made the decision to get your MBA. You got your MBA and you got an internship that paid you double that. Yeah, more than you were making for the water company. And would you have been able to have that internship opportunity if you weren't getting your MBA in parallel?
No. No, it was a requirement to have an MBA. And if I had applied for like an entry-level job, because it was just an entry-level job, the MBA internship is just an entry-level job. So if I was to apply for that, I would never have gotten it without having an MBA. I don't think so, at least.
Well, see, and that's a great thing for our listeners to think about too, especially if, you know, you're extremely ambitious. You don't just want a career. You want a career where you can grow and you can make a difference. I mean, Hewlett-Packard is a Fortune 50 or a Fortune 40 company. So it's a very prominent player in the space, and being able to get that internship. I would love to ask you too, when you went in and you did those interviews for the internship for young professionals who are maybe looking for a new job or getting ready to go on one of the biggest interviews of their life, what's some of the advice that you would share with them that you took into those interviews that helped solidify that internship that ultimately led you to having a very long career with this company?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing is to make sure you showcase your skills. So for me, the reason why they took a chance on me, even though I didn't really have the corporate background, is because I had the skills.
Right.
I brought technical skills to the table that most people my age did not have. I knew how to design websites. I knew search optimization. I knew social media. I knew how to write. Like, all my experiences gave me such a great marketing background. So even though I didn't have like the corporate experience, I had all the skills. So no matter what, and that's why I mentioned before, when you're in college, to make sure you get as much experience as possible, is because you need skills. I see so many interns who flounder because they have no skills. It's like the first time they're actually doing something on their own, you know, aside from homework or something. So, and they just fail. And it's because they don't have skills. So like, you need to push yourselves to outside of school, learn some expertise. That's going to get you far.
Right. And for our listeners who are listening, I think that's the biggest like piece of advice, at least one of the biggest pieces of advice you can take from our conversation with Hala today, is you need experience. Get experience as fast as you can. I had probably had a couple guests on who have talked about that as well. Like, you need to be getting experience. You need to be doing internships. You need to be getting as many skills as you can, so when you do have that position that comes up, you don't feel like this is something you've never done.
And especially in the digital world, like, think about everybody who is in a hiring manager position. Well, nowadays, like, hiring managers could be relatively young, 30, 35, whatever, but a lot of them are still on the older side. And you have to think about the skills that they don't have. They don't have the digital skills. So when you come in to apply for a job and you know how to do graphic design, video editing, social media, web design, these are just marketing things, but you can flip it on any industry or any field. And if you come with the digital skills, they'll realize like, okay, like, they might be inexperienced in X, Y, and Z, but they'll help us fill this gap that we have. So you've really got to make sure that you're like on the cutting edge of anything that you're interested in getting into.
Right. And another takeaway too is be interested and spend as much time as you can learning all of these technologies. I know a lot of young people use these technologies like Instagram and Facebook, but do you know how to use them for business? Do you know how to use it from a business development side or a marketing side? Even if you don't, just start learning about that, because again, in the corporate world, what is happening is we're seeing the biggest transition of the millennial generation coming in and taking over a huge portion of jobs, that young people have the opportunity now to be put into leadership positions at a young age, because so many baby boomers are retiring. You know, 10,000 baby boomers a day or something like that are retiring every single day. So what happens is there is a shift happening. And if you can learn these skills and put yourself in this position to be a leader, but also someone who can do more than one thing, you begin to be irreplaceable for a company that can say, hey, I can rely on Hala or Dane for not only this, their main function here, their main job function, but they can also help me on this, this, and this, as the landscape of young people and old people start to shift and merge together. So definitely appreciate you sharing that. How would you say, and then we'll kind of move on to after the internship and moving into Hewlett-Packard, how would you say the MBA program was? Did you learn a lot? What were your biggest takeaways and experiences from going through that MBA program for someone who's saying, do I want to get an MBA? I have my undergrad. I could do it at night with my job. What are some of those things that you would share with that person listening?
I loved my MBA. I loved to learn. And because I didn't take my undergrad seriously, from day one, I made it a point, like, I'm graduating with a 4.0. And I did. And I wanted to prove to the school, like, you guys accepted me, even though I really wasn't qualified. And I'm going to prove to you all that you made the right decision, right? So I made sure that I graduated with a 4.0. I was obsessed with studying. So I would go to work and then study till 1 a.m. every night. My classmates thought that I was probably too serious about things, but I really just wanted to absorb everything because I feel like I didn't really get that education in my undergrad. I did get a lot of education in other ways in my undergrad, but I really wanted that like business acumen. So I took it very, very seriously. My MBA really helped with my public speaking skills, my presentation skills, my financial background, all of that, and also collaboration with my classmates. And it was also really good networking because getting your undergrad is like expected. It's average, you know, the average person goes get their undergrad. But an MBA, it's like you've got that next level of people in your class that like really want to take it to the next level. So it's great networking too.
Definitely. And the thing that I took away from you just sharing that was like your classmates saying like, wow, you're taking this super seriously. But again, it's like, because you know what you want and you want to do that now. Yeah, it could be some people might say, yeah, we're getting our MBA. We're working towards what we're going to do. It's like, no. I want to do what I'm going to do now. And I'm going to act the exact same way that I would once I have the piece of paper, but also the job and the title that came from all of the things I did. You put that game face on now, which I love because again, it all depends on what you want, but you were ready for that. And like you said, you maybe didn't take undergrad as seriously, but you were saying, no, I'm going to do my thing. You got a 4.0, which congrats. That's amazing. That goes to show from a work ethic standpoint, staying up late, studying, you know, making it a priority. While at the same time, you had an internship too. So as you were finishing your MBA, how long did the internship last before you moved into a full-time job with Hewlett-Packard and then the MBA finishing too? How did that take place?
Yeah, so I did the internship at Hewlett-Packard for the full 2 years where I was getting my MBA. And really, it was a full-time job. Like, they gave me way more responsibilities than a regular intern. And they would also always introduce me as, like, she's not your average intern. Because I'm a really productive person. Like, I would say, like, even now, I do the job of, like, 1.5 people at all times. Like, I'm a very, very productive person. So I had my job already when I was an intern. So it sort of just evolved into just getting hired, getting a raise. And something else that I just want to point out to the listeners out there is while I was an intern, I was also very involved in employee networks at my job. So Hewlett-Packard has a really good company culture. And one of the things that they have is something called employee networks. So I founded the Young Employee Network at my office, and I was the president of that. And that gave me a lot of executive exposure. It showed that I was a leader. It showed that I really cared about the company. And I think that also really helped in getting a job because whether it was setting up company picnics or career professional development workshops or whatever it was, I was like not only working at the job, not only getting my MBA, but also like enhancing the company culture at that workplace. So I think it's really important to always go above and beyond.
Honestly, like, you keep just sharing things that there are so many takeaways for our listeners. Like, this is amazing because again, first, when you were doing your internship, what did you say? You said, this isn't your average intern for you, right? Like, that's what they said because they knew you had so many skills. So again, you became more valuable than the next intern. You were doing more because you had the capabilities to do that, but also you had the ambition to say, put as much as you want on my plate. I'm going to show you that you made a good decision in bringing me on as an intern. And when you do decide to, you know, roll me in as a full-time employee, or again, like they said, you were kind of already that, they just made it official. You were already ready for that. And the other thing was, you know, you created the Young Employee Network within the organization. And why I like that so much is, again, talking about in college, get as many experiences as you can, do stuff, create things with people, network. You were doing exactly what you were doing in college, now just in a big, big company like Hewlett-Packard. And I don't know if you've heard of the book called Tribes by Seth Godin.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to get Seth Godin on my podcast. He's scheduled in 6 months.
Really?
That's yes.
See, guys, like, again, the hustle, being able to network, I think that's so cool. But he, in that book, Tribes, he talks about, you know, what it takes to actually form a tribe. But he doesn't just talk about forming a tribe around, let's say, a, you know, a brand, but he also says, how can you create a tribe within your organization that you work for? And that's what you did with, you know, the Young Employee Network. So very cool there. So what was that first kind of role that you moved into after the internship and the MBA concluded?
Yeah, so I was in charge of our external media platforms, so social media and our web management. So that was my first job in the marketing department.
Really, really. So again, the skills, all the different things you were doing. So let's kind of fast track that till today. So you had that as your first role. I know you continued to kind of move up and do different things. How did that look like if you were just to say, like, this was the next thing I was doing and then this is what I'm doing today?
Yeah, so I moved into an internal communications role shortly after that. I did that for a while. I did sales communication. Then I did go-to-market activation. So what that is you work with the different business groups when a new solution launches, and I helped project manage that. And I did a lot of marketing operations, so all the project management for my marketing team. And most recently, I actually just got into this job last month or like 3 weeks ago. I am leading the integration of financial services into Aruba, which is the Internet of Things division of Hewlett Packard Enterprise. So I know everything about marketing. So I like to think that they plug me into every problem because they put me in the problem, I fix it, and then they move me on to the next thing. That's literally what happens.
That's amazing too. And how long have you been now with Hewlett Packard for?
It's going to be 5 years, including the internship. So 5 years coming up in a couple months.
And kind of looking back now on your experience as, you know, a young professional being with an organization, because I think there's like two ways we go. We pick an organization that we like and we stick with them for a while, which sounds like the route you've gone down. And then there's those young professionals who maybe, you know, stay with the company for 6 months, a year, or maybe 2 years, and then jump to the next one. Just because, again, we're trying to find a place that resonates with us, that we feel comfortable with. You obviously found a place that you enjoy. You're able to make a difference. You're able to, you know, move into a lot of different roles because you're solving problems, like you said, too. Kind of looking back on the last 5 years, how has your overall experience been with this organization? What are some of the biggest things that you've taken away that have really made this a career that you are excited about and you really enjoy? I'd love for you to share some of those things or thoughts that come to mind for you for our listeners.
Yeah. So first of all, it's a very healthy company culture. So like I mentioned, I worked at that water company, had a terrible company culture. Hot 97 also had a pretty poor company culture in regards to the fact that your boss would talk crazy to you and that was okay. And at my job now, it's not like that. I'm around super smart people. The VP of my marketing department is like the smartest woman I've ever met in my life. It's like, I respect everybody so much. And I found an environment where they really love me and they really believe in me. And they always, like, you know, do nothing but tell me they see me leading in this company one day. So they've gave me the exposure and give me the hints that I know that, like, I'm secure here. And that if I stay here, I'll just continue to move up. Of course, there's things that always entice you and you wonder, like, is the grass greener on the other side? And like, should I go? But for me right now, they keep challenging me. They keep promoting me. They keep giving me the right exposure, sending me on business trips, giving me more responsibility. I see no reason why I would leave this job. And it really allows me to, because I'm so familiar with the job and trusted and just get my work done, it allows me to have the podcast on the side because I'm so secure in another part of my life. You know, I'm secure enough where I can have a podcast on the side. And they support me in that because they know me so well. They know I'm not going to drop the ball at work. I've always have something else going on, whether it's a Young Employee Network or president of my alumni association or now the podcast, you know, so I can handle a lot. So I'm blessed with that.
That's amazing too. And I love how you mentioned that, you know, with what you've done at Hewlett Packard and the experiences that you've created and the success that you've had to prove to the organization that you can do more and more and continue to move up, and from your side, feeling comfortable staying with a company that supports you, that's healthy as a company overall, but also that supports your passions with the podcast, which we're going to get into now. But I do have one other question I want to ask you for that listener who's listening, who's saying, you know, because again, Young, Wild, and Rich is all about helping young people find a career that they enjoy, that gives them purpose, you know, passion and fulfillment. And it really seems like you have that with the organization. So for that young professional that's listening saying, you know, I really want to find that for myself. I want to find a company that I can feel like I get up every day and my job is meaningful and it gives me a sense of belonging, but also gives me a sense of being able to contribute to an organization. And in my being there, the company sees that and notices that and wants me to stay there and continue to grow like you have for Hewlett Packard. What would you say to that young professional who's listening to this and saying, you know, how can I go and find that in an organization? If they were chatting with you saying, you know, Hala, what should I look for to find that for myself if they're still figuring out? Because so many young people are trying to find that for themselves. And that's a passion of why I started this, is to, you know, bring on individuals like yourself who have kind of found that for themselves and share some of that advice that I think could help these young people looking for that for themselves. I know it's a long question, but I wanted to preface it so you could think about it a little bit.
Yeah, I think it goes back to getting experiences. So you have to know what you want. Get an internship at a startup. See how you like that environment. Get an internship in corporate. See how you like that environment. I love being competitive. I love having smart people around me. I have trouble following direction from somebody who's like my age. You know what I mean? I want to follow direction from somebody who's 20 years more experienced than me. Otherwise, I feel like, well, I should be directing you. Like, you know what I mean? So that's why I like corporate, because I'm able to learn from people who are so much more experienced than me. And it gives me an ability to, like, you know, prove myself and be competitive. And I think a startup environment would be great for me, but I would need to be the leader, you know? So I think you need to know your strengths and what you enjoy. And you learn that by having experiences. So I think that's really important. Another thing is, before you jump into any opportunity, you want to do your research. Like, it's okay to say no. It's okay to get a job offer, look into it, see bad reviews about what the past employees have said, and then decide, you know what, I'm going to hold out and see if something better comes along. Like, it's okay to say no and to just like, to wait it out and do your research and really know what you're looking for and don't settle for less. So you want to look into the company culture. Like, there are plenty of review sites out there. I think Glassdoor.com is one of them. And you can see what other employees have said about the company and decide from there. There's also like different lists where it's like most popular place to work at, best places to work at. Like, there's all different types of lists. And I would start with those and look specifically at those companies and apply for jobs there rather than just throwing everything out there. I think being a little bit more strategic will help you a great deal, because when you're stuck in it, first of all, it looks horrible to get a job and leave right away. So you don't want to be stuck in a job for 1 or 2 years that has a poor company culture. Like, that's not good for your growth. It's not good for your mental health. It's just not good all around. So taking your time to do that initial research to know about a company's culture is super important.
Yeah, no. And I mean, there's so many things you can take away from that too. And I hope for those of you listening, take some of that, especially if you are in that position, you're trying to find that organization that can, you know, put you in the position to really enjoy what you're doing. You know, one thing you said, which a lot of people who come onto this podcast, and I'm sure you are a fan or know of Gary Vee talking about self-awareness, right? Like, knowing who you are. And the only way you can kind of find out who you are is to try a lot of different things. Expose yourself to as much as you can. I talk about that with so many people and young professionals I meet too. But then what I like that you were saying is, you know who you are. So you want to be in an environment where you can learn from someone who has 20 or 30 years experience on you. That's the way in which, you know, you're able to continue to grow and to continue to learn, which is amazing. And, you know, for our listeners on the flip side, you know, I've always worked in startups. So I'm working with people who are maybe the same age as me, as well as people who are 10 or 15 years older than me. So I get a little bit of both, but I also get the ability to be put in a position to, you know, do a lot more things within my organization, because if you can make a difference, they'll put you in that position to have some leadership skills and be able to train some other people or, you know, take on additional projects. So I think those are two different landscapes that people can look at and say what fits best with me, but then go try both of them and see which one they like. So thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, I really want to get into this part of the podcast, because again, this is how we connected, was over the Young and Profiting podcast. And I know we've been going for a while now, but I definitely wanted to set aside some time to talk about the Young and Profiting podcast, what you're currently doing today, and when that started for you and what that experience has been like. So I'd love for you to inform our listeners about how you even started this podcast, what made you want to start it, and what it is.
Yeah, so I started this podcast about 6 months ago. Probably a year ago is when I decided I wanted to start a podcast. I decided that I've got this corporate career, but I don't feel exactly fulfilled. I did the Young Employee Network, and that was all great. I was president of my alumni association, but I was like, I still don't feel fulfilled. Like I want to go back into broadcasting. I want to go back to my first love, but I still love business. So how can I merge the two? And I came up with this idea for Young and Profiting Podcast, where I would help millennials grow financially and professionally by interviewing guests and studying and investigating topics each episode. So that was really my goal. And it was my New Year's resolution for 2018. So it was almost like learning how to do it all over again. Podcasting is relatively new. So I needed to learn how to create a podcast, learn how to apply to iTunes. I used to focus my shows on music and entertainment, and they were really casual. So then I had to learn how to study my guests' expertise and figure out the right things to say. And I was experimenting with different show formats. And I was doing this all by myself. Like, I've obviously got audio editing skills and all of that kind of stuff from my past experience. So I was like a one-man show, able to do this podcast by myself. So my goal was to launch on New Year's Day, but I didn't end up launching my first episode until like April. It took me a long time. My first couple episodes, I interviewed like 2 to 4 guests each episode. Somehow my first episode, I landed an interview with Jack Schaefer and Dori Clark. Probably my like very sweet long emails about this dream that I had for a podcast, and they accepted it, came on the show, just worked my butt off to get these first couple episodes out. And it took me a long time, each episode, like 1.5 months each episode, and it wasn't sustainable, right? So my amazing producer, Timothy Tan, reached out to me about maybe 1.5 months into it. And he was like, you know, I heard your show. I love what you're doing. I want to help you. And he's actually a senior at NJIT. And he is brilliant. So he came on board and he was like my project manager. He like fired me up and he really helped me get things out quicker because he was able to like do guest outreach, do project management. He helped me recruit Danny McFadder, who's my audio engineer now. So I was able to like, okay, I can focus on the interviews. And I've got an audio engineer, I've got a project manager / producer, and we just started ramping up. So now I'm able to put out a show every other week. And my team has grown to about a team of 7. I have such an amazing team. Like, we are the dream team right now. I've got Christian, who does web management. I've got Kayla, who does our show notes and communications. Steves, who's doing social media. Stephanie, who's helping me on research and audio. And Ryan, who does project management. So I've got a really amazing team right now. So the team's expanding and we're growing so fast. And the podcast itself is getting so much recognition so fast. Like, it's unbelievably amazing how fast we're growing. It's like every month we're getting 5 times as much downloads as the previous month. It's a little overwhelming to know that like 6 months ago, it was like an idea and I was doing it by myself. And now I'm putting out a show every other week, interviewing some of the most famous authors and influencers out there, and learning so much at the same time, and then being able to lead a team and having so much enthusiasm and motivation within the team. Like, I just know that, and I hope that this is the opportunity that I've been waiting for and that all the experiences I've had in the past have led me to this opportunity. So just really excited and thankful for it.
Very cool. And honestly, it doesn't cease to amaze me of where it's come from, where it's gotten to in such a short amount of time based on your story. Because I mean, you were doing it before with a team. You led a team and you were able to, you know, create something that scaled very fast. And you're doing the exact same thing now with the Young and Profiting Podcast, which is extremely inspiring for me to listen to because I'm always inspired by other young professionals who are doing things. And that's why I wanted to reach out to you to talk about this. And your podcast is growing. It inspires me to continue to do, you know, what I'm doing with my podcast and continuing to work, you know, extremely hard. But for the people who are listening, who are hearing about the Young and Profiting Podcast for the first time, what could they expect from who you're looking to bring on? I know you said authors and things like that, but what do you guys kind of get into on the show? And what are you trying to distill from these speakers, these authors in specific areas that you're aiming at, you know, the millennial generation? I'd love for you to give a little bit of insight so, you know, someone can get an idea and obviously go and check out the podcast too for some of the content you create and put out there.
Yeah, sure. So really, I explore anything that can help a millennial grow. So the topics range from productivity to time management to cryptocurrency to personal finance to being better at first impressions. The topics are pretty wide ranging. And I always just think about like, what would a millennial, a young professional need to succeed? And to be honest, I have listeners that are all ages. It's a really quality show. I'm so focused on making sure that my listeners get quality content. And the reason why everybody has been asking me to have a show about myself and get to know myself is because I never make it about me. It's really about I'm getting the smartest person on this show, and I'm going to try to extract any gem that I can that would help my listeners be successful.
Definitely, definitely. And I will make sure to, you know, put all of this out there to the listeners who come and check out the things that, you know, we have going on over here at Young, Wild, and Rich. But again, I think your show gives other young professionals the ability to dive into the minds of other people who are, you know, professionals in their space, to inspire that young professional who maybe wants to go into that space as well. Think about what that person's thinking about and the skills that they're sharing too. I'd love to ask you as well. I know you've done so many things. And again, the Young and Profiting podcast is the next thing that you're doing. And, you know, you got a team around and amazing things are happening. You're creating traction, momentum. You're fired up. You're doing this while having a full-time job as well. For that young professional who's listening, saying, can I have a full-time job that takes up a lot of my day? And how can I manage this? Because I know, you know, Hala's got a team of 7 people. I don't know. I just have me. So for that person who's thinking, you know, I want to start something around a passion. I want to start something around a skill. What advice would you give them going after building something on the side of their career that they're currently in?
My advice is that you have to be passionate. If you're passionate about something, you will find a way. You will find the time. You will multitask. You'll do anything that you can to make your dream come true. So you need to make a decision. And I think making a decision is really important. You need to decide you want to do something. Like, I made a firm decision. Like, I'm starting a podcast. I announced it to the world and I made it public and made it sticky because I basically promised everybody I am launching a podcast. And no matter what, no matter if it meant staying home on a Friday night, if it meant, you know, going to work, taking an hour long break just to like decompress and then working on the podcast again. That's literally what I do every day. And it's because I've decided that this is a priority for me. And I would rather hold off on some social experiences right now and work on my dream and make sure that I'm as fulfilled as possible as a person. And I think that it's really important. If you're passionate about something, you'll find the time. And anything else is just an excuse. Like, I don't watch TV. I literally don't watch TV. I don't own a TV. The computer is all that I need right now. And I find that kind of stuff like a waste of time and a distraction, you know? And if I'm working out, I'm studying at the same time. I'm finding the time no matter what, my lunch breaks. I go to my lunch breaks and I have interviews for my show. Like, at least once a week, my lunch break is having an interview. My lunch break is studying for an interview. Like, you'll make the time if you really want something and you just need to make that decision. Like, do I want this? Am I going to put the time into this? And if you're not going to put in the time, like, don't even bother, because you will need to sacrifice if you're going to try to have an actual side hustle while having a full-time job. Like, first of all, you can't do poorly in your full-time job. That defeats the purpose. You'll have nothing.
That's great advice and maybe some hard advice for a young professional to hear, but it's the truth. It really is the truth, you know, talking about what you're doing. And again, you know, I have to perform in my job as well outside of doing the Young, Wild, and Rich podcast. And I think a big question that young people can ask themselves when contemplating the side hustle or the side passion project is, why? Why do you actually want to do it? Like, asking yourself why, but really understanding why. But again, if you don't have like a passion or an innate desire and interest for something, then you're not going to take the time to sacrifice. You're going to have to work on the weekends outside of your job. You're going to have to make as much time as you can to do it. But if it's something that you truly care about, you will make the time for it. I know we're like already at like an hour, which is crazy. Yeah, this is honestly been one of the most productive conversations I've had with another young professional. And I can just relate to so many things too, because we're going through very similar things. And I want to meet more people like you who have those side projects. I think it's hard to find those people. Again, you got to spend time on the side of networking, but I appreciate so much of the things you're sharing. I have 2 more questions. Well, really one more question. The other question is really, you know, where people can find you and how people can get connected to you and your podcast. But the last question that I have personally for you, which I ask everyone who comes onto the show, because again, I try and bring on young professionals who have found a career that they're passionate about, a project they're passionate about, stuff that fulfills them, just like you're doing. And you can tell by the energy in your voice and, you know, the story that you're telling, which is so inspiring to me and I hope for the audience as well. But I ask everyone who comes on, what today, from all the experiences that you've had, what today is the thing that drives you most to continue to push and hustle and do everything that you can to make not only your career amazing, but your dreams continue to get closer and closer? Since we all are on that journey right now, everyone on this podcast that I interview is young. They're getting there. They're not, you know, quote unquote, there yet, but that's what the journey is about. I'm curious for myself and also for the listeners, what's the thing that gets you up and drives you today to continue to just relentlessly pursue what you enjoy and what you're trying to create in the world?
Yeah, so really it's my listeners. Getting that positive feedback, having people approach me and say that, you know, you're changing my life, what you're doing is so valuable. Just getting that feedback and knowing that I have thousands of people who are listening to my show every time I put it out and that my hard work is being appreciated and people are going out of their way to message me paragraphs and paragraphs about their feedback on the show. Usually it's positive, but sometimes it's negative. And the fact that people will take the time out to help me or show their appreciation is so motivating to me. Like, I just want to help people. I want to help the world. And I feel like I'm able to make a difference with my podcast. And for me, that's what really drives me. That's what enables me to, you know, after 10 hours of my day job, go back and sit down and do another 5 hours on the podcast. Like, that's what drives me every day. And so all my listeners out there, thank you so much for providing your feedback, for giving me those good reviews, and for helping keeping me motivated.
Thank you for sharing that, because again, that's a huge driver for me as well. When you create stuff, when you put stuff out there into the world, which again is not the easiest thing to even start to do, because again, we live in a society where you get criticized just as much as you get praise. I appreciate you sharing that, because that resonates a lot with me. Being able to change or affect one person's life, there's no better feeling than that. And that's what you continue to do every single day. So thank you for sharing that. The last thing I'll ask you, and then we can conclude, is for the listeners who are hearing about you for the first time, where can people get connected to you? Where can people go to check out the Young and Profiting podcast? Share with our listeners how they can get connected to you, because I'm sure some people would love to even reach out to you to say thank you or to ask you for some advice. I love being able to connect the young professionals I bring on with the listeners who listen and are meeting them for the first time. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that, that'd be great.
Yeah, so Young and Profiting podcast is on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, CastBox, Google Play, literally every platform you can think of. Wherever you like to listen to your podcast, we're on there. So if you search for YAP, Y-A-P, or Young and Profiting, you'll find it. We also have a website, youngandprofiting.com. And then you can, of course, find me on social media. So right now, I'm really into LinkedIn. You can find me, Hala Taha. Just search for my name. I'm sure you won't have trouble finding me. And also on Instagram at Young and Profiting.
Perfect, perfect. And please, guys, if you're especially listening to this for the first time, I'm always a huge proponent of networking and connecting with like-minded individuals or people that you'd love to, you know, have a conversation with, because this conversation today would have never happened if I didn't reach out to you, because I know you're connected to a ton of people. That's how we got connected, was on LinkedIn, me shooting you a quick message, jumping on a phone, and now spending a little bit over an hour today to talk about, you know, your story. So it can go a long way. And Hala, I would just say lastly, again, thank you so much for coming on to share your story. It's inspired me. And I know a lot of our listeners here are going to really enjoy this conversation. So thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Thank you so much. And before you go, since I'm going to be putting this out as a bonus episode on my podcast, why don't you tell my listeners where they can find your show in case they're interested in this type of format and they want to continue learning from you?
Definitely. Yeah. I host a podcast called the Young, Wild, and Rich podcast. So it's just Young, Wild, and Rich podcast. And you can find it on iTunes, Spotify, as well as SoundCloud or any of those outlets for wherever you listen to. So the Young, Wild, and Rich podcast is a podcast where I take individuals like Hala, young professionals who have found a career or even a side passion or business that they love, enjoy, and that gives them fulfillment. We dive into the story like we did today. We dive into the career, you know, why they chose that career, the skill sets that they thought helped them get it, to ultimately share that with the listeners and help another young professional kind of find that for themselves. And, you know, on social media, you can find us on Instagram or Facebook, just Young, Wild, and Rich Podcast, as well as we do have a website that's being built right now that's live that people can check out, just youngwildandrich.com. That's where some of your listeners can check out the Young, Wild, and Rich Podcast for interviews with young professionals on all different types of careers and stories.
Awesome. Well, I really enjoyed this. Thank you for having me on your show.